Father God, your love is amazing. It is overwhelming. It is far beyond what we deserve, far beyond even what we can understand. But you offer it to us, you give it to us, you even somehow fill us with it by your Spirit. And we can know and experience and even share your love with the people around us. God, that is a mystery beyond what we can know. But you have promised us that it is real and that is how people will know that we are your disciples, if we love one another, if we share that love, if we bring that love to life. God, we thank you, we praise you for your love. Your love that is so righteous and holy and gracious and merciful. Your love that reaches down and sees us where we are and desires to bring us back to wholeness with you. We thank you and praise you for the things that you are doing in each of us and us together, and the ways that you are work around the world, God, and your followers and your believers, wherever they are, your love is present. So God, as we are here this morning, we want to study and learn and understand. We want to know more about this love. We want to experience this love together. So as we turn to your word this morning, we pray that you would speak, that you would move, that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear from you today, that we can be challenged, that we can be drawn deeper into an understanding of this love, that we can share it a little more fully with the people around us. We ask that you would speak and move in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, worship team, for leading us to that place this morning. It is good to be able to declare those things together. Sometimes we don't always necessarily feel them as we are singing them. Sometimes we're coming out of a very difficult and challenging place, and sometimes we can even, you know, wonder if God hears us, wonder if God's there. And yet to come and declare these truths, no matter how we're feeling, is so, so important to speak these truths. God, you are love. Your love is real. It is eternal and infinite. It is here for us. Helps us to feel those things. Helps us to know and understand those things. It is a two-way street. That experience comes as we do that. But as we are here this morning, we're going to turn to 2 Peter. And we're going to be continuing our series. We've got one more week in this, and then we're going to be wrapping things up for all the things that God's been doing this year. But we're going to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I am, my heart is racing a little bit this morning. I'm on my third cup of coffee, and that's a mistake every time. Usually, I finished it too fast, and so then I went and made another one before the coffee bar had made theirs, and then their coffee is always really good, and so I'm like, well, I should probably refill my cup one more time. And every time I do, I'm like, I know how this goes. Okay. So this is going to go fast, and the AGM is going to go even faster, because I am buzzing today, so I'm going to try to slow it down. We're going to read through it, and we're going to enjoy this. But 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. We're going to do this. It's a powerful passage this morning. I don't want us to miss it, because Peter says some really cool things here. 2 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised?" Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heaven and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. From the beginning, God has spoken his word to us by his Spirit, through his prophets, through his scriptures, through the apostles, through Jesus himself. He has given us his word. He has given us his instructions. He has given us his promises, and he has called us to hear and obey. Are we walking in faith and obedience to the word of God? God's word is true, and he will fulfill it all. Amen? Amen. Well, we are coming, as I said, to the end of our journey this year, and it's been really fun. Next week, we're going to be wrapping up this series looking at the letters of Peter. And the following week, we're going to look back on all the things that God has been teaching us through this year in our study looking at the Word. As we prepare to step into the summer and the exciting series that Pastor Scott has prepared for us and looking toward the fall and the new journey that God has in store for us, I am very, very excited. It's going to be really exciting. It's going to be challenging. I am having a ton of fun putting that series together and praying through the things God wants us to look at, digging into the things that God is calling us to explore. It's going to be deep waters next year. And I hope that you will pray with me that God will be preparing our hearts to receive his word and the challenge he has for us. But today is a day of remembering and celebration, a day of vision and calling. Is again, as we've said, after our service, we have our annual general meeting, and we're going to be praying together through and affirming our leadership and our vision and our direction for the next year. The ways that God is calling us as his church family to use his resources and just celebrating the things that God is doing in and through our church family. And he is doing great things. God is alive. His Spirit is alive here, and lives are being changed. Just last summer, feels like 1,000 years ago already with all the things that we got to do this year, but last summer we joined with 3 other churches. From our Alberta Baptist Association, we went to Mexico for, I think, the 5th or 6th time now. I should have counted that, probably. We joined a team. We created a team. We went to Mexico, and we raised enough money just here at LFC to build 2 homes for families down there, children that now have a safe home, doors that lock, something we take so for granted, windows that close, a floor that isn't dirt. We've talked about it in the past. The health, the education, the economic benefits for that family are just incredible with a simple home that has a roof and a floor and doors that lock. We got to join with these other churches and build into the kingdom that is already there in Mexico, the church that is already there in Mexico. We got to join with Pastor Jesus in Principe de Paz. Once again, we've all been there serving alongside him for over a decade now. And building the ministry that Principe de Paz has in that community, being a part of that. We celebrated so many baptisms here this year. Young people standing before their families and our whole church and anyone who is here. Our live stream and everything. The whole world saying, I am a follower of Jesus. I am forgiven and free in Jesus' name. We cared for one another. We prayed for each other through hurt and loss. We brought meals and helped one another with needs. We grieved together and saw healing together. We've studied God's word together. Our kids, our youth, again, those 2 ministries in particular are exploding. God is incredible in the ways he is calling us to build his kingdom here. Our kids, our youth, our young adults, our men's and women's and seniors, our care ministry, grief ministry. So many different ways that we are discipling together. We had worship nights together. God's Spirit was moving in powerful ways in that room, speaking to us. We look forward to more of those opportunities. We had retreats. Our youth went on a couple of retreats, men's and women's retreats. We had retreats here just to hear and sense and spend time in the Word and with the Spirit together, experiencing God speaking. Within that, we have, in a couple of weeks here, your staff team. Myself and the staff team, we're going to be heading out to a retreat center on July. I can't remember. I should write stuff down. Wouldn't that be great? We're going to be heading out to a retreat center here for a whole morning just of silence and prayer. And I encourage you to pray for your staff team as we do that, just for God's leading and guidance as we seek to build and pour into the ministries here. What are the priorities? What are the things that God is speaking to us? How is He leading us? How are we following? So pray for your staff team as we spend that time doing that. I'm lost now. Where was I? Weren't we doing good? It's so exciting. God is doing so many things here. Yeah, again, discipling kids and families. He's increasing our discipleship responsibility. Our people are coming forward, are stepping into discipleship together. We've stepped into leadership in our worship ministry, in our young adults ministry, in our kids ministry, in our youth ministry. New people coming in, sowing into the mission and the work. Our people have given so faithfully into our resources here. As a church family, you have come around the vision and direction of this church. And once again, our giving has exceeded what we budgeted this year. Amen? Amen. That is your faithfulness pouring into these things. That's you. That's us coming in together, pouring our resources into His kingdom. Not so that LFC has more money, but so that we can do more work in this place, in this community, around the world. We are not a business. We are a mission. And the resources that God gives us through you, through us, and our faithfulness together, as we serve faithfully within us, give faithfully, we will grow the work that God is doing here as far as God will take it. We want to continue to be faithful within that. I was just talking with a friend this week about ministry here in Leduc, and I just said, I think if I do a rough count of, I don't know the numbers of all the other churches necessarily, but guessing at what the size of those churches, there's roughly 2,000 to 2,500 people that are a part of the different churches here in Leduc. And there are about 35,000 people that live in this city. There is so much work to be done. So many lives to be touched that need to hear the hope of Jesus. And before we get focused on the difference between those numbers, that is a big difference, but think of how many people those 2,500-odd faithful believers know. How many people are each of us connected to that no one else in this church is connected to, let alone that we have impact together with? And you scale that out over all the churches in Leduc, how many people in this city don't know anyone that loves Jesus? People that they work with, play sports with, hang out with, volunteer with. God has already placed thousands of His people all over this community to bring the hope and loves of Jesus, the message of the gospel to them. He has placed each of you, each of us here in all the places that we are, our homes, our communities, workplaces. Are we being faithful? Are we faithfully bringing the light and the hope of Jesus into those places, walking forward and serving with passion and boldness? As we bring the hope and love of Jesus and the truth of the gospel into the places we live and work and serve, I am excited for what God is doing, for the opportunity that exists in front of us. And I hope that you are too, and that you are ready to dig in even more here and all around, encouraging each other together to go and do all the things that God is calling us to do, because God is not done. Is God done? I don't think He's done. I think He's got a lot left to do, and that's exactly what Peter is calling us to be mindful of here in this passage today. That is the thing that he sees at the end of his life, over 30 years leading the church as he processes the decades that it has been since Jesus promised him that he was coming back, and soon. Peter is going through a lot at this time. His life is coming to an end, and he knows that. Jesus promised him over and over again that he was going to return. And Jesus made it seem like it was going to be very short. And on the galactic universal timescale, it will be very short. We will not expect it. We will not see it coming. It will happen like a thief in the night. But at the same time, Peter is struggling and wrestling with this and helping the church to struggle and wrestle with this. Because there was a moment on that beach at the end where Jesus extended his forgiveness to Peter. And he has that conversation with him, and Jesus seems to imply to Peter that perhaps the Apostle John might not even die before Jesus returns. It's not exactly what Jesus said, but that's probably what Peter heard and what people really wrestled with, because the rumor went around, he's not going to die before Jesus. It's not what Jesus said, but there's things that the church is processing here. And Peter is seeing the work of God stretch further and wider than he had imagined, and stretch further into the future than he had originally imagined. And he wants us to see that too, to know the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, but to recognize that God has work to do. And so he writes this second letter, and he writes these things. He says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Across both of his letters, however many years they may have been written apart, Peter is deeply concerned with the minds of these believers." He said that a number of times, that we are committed and hold firm to the truth of the word, the prophets and the words of Jesus and the teachings of the Spirit through the apostles. We are supposed to be grounded in the word, rooted in the promises of God, standing firm upon the promise born in the blood of Jesus shed for us. Unmoved by the winds and fears of the world, and then alive in our own hearts. Because he knows, he has already seen, and he has seen coming, that from both inside and outside the church, there's going to be this challenge. Many challenges and struggles that we are going to face. But one of the biggest is that Jesus isn't going to do what he said he's going to do. Verse 3, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires." They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. And another 2,000 years later, we can see the power of the insight of these words, the revelation that the Spirit gave Peter to speak these things to the church. He wrote this just 30-odd years after the resurrection of Jesus to people who had waited thousands of years already for the coming of the Messiah in the first place. You'd think they might have had some patience to do this. Why don't we see? Why do we struggle to believe? Outside of the church, people mock God and they pretend he doesn't even exist. How could he? Don't you see how ancient the universe is? Don't you see all the evil in the world? Ever since our ancestors died, everything just goes on as it has since the beginning. But even in the church, we can struggle. We declare that Jesus is coming back. He has promised us he will, and that it could be any time. Again, a thief in the night, like lightning across the heavens. No one knows the day or the hour, not even the Son, only the Father. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 1,000 years from now. We don't know. We are told over and over and over again to be ready, to be about our Father's work, to trust him to provide and go into all the world and make disciples as much as we can, as many as we can, as he empowers his church to do by his Spirit. But we so often don't live that way. We live like we have time. We live like things will go on as they always have, when God has told us they won't. So we get bogged down with money and legacy, earthly politics and culture, fears about the way the world is going, when God has told us what he is doing. What he will do. And he's told us what we're supposed to be doing. Do we believe him? Do we hear Peter's words here? Don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged. Don't listen to what others are saying. Stay the course, because God's promises cut both ways. As Peter outlines for us very clearly here, verse 5, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. God promises life and blessing, forgiveness and freedom to any and all who will accept the grace and promise of Jesus. But there is destruction and separation in store for all those who continue in rebellion. For anyone who refuses to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, there is judgment. And this world will be destroyed. God will not be mocked, and his holiness is absolute. And Peter sees all of us and is calling us, on us as the church, to be mindful, to know what God has promised, what he has done, and to carry that truth to those who need it, because time is short. God is serious, and God is gracious. Verse 8, do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is bringing all things to an end, but not before he is satisfied that every single person has had the opportunity he desires for them to know and understand and respond to the incredible gift of his love and grace. What a mighty and loving God we serve. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Instead, he is patient with you, with us, even those who have received his gift of grace. He is patient as we try to follow and fail, sliding back into sin in our own life, surrendering again and failing again. God is patient. And with those who have not yet seen and heard, who have not yet surrendered their life, seen their need of forgiveness, God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The mission of the church is the mission of God. It is the mission of grace. Judgment is his alone. Ours is a mission of love and hope, speaking the truth of God's world to a world that of God's word to a world that desperately needs that hope. We come together here every week for encouragement and growth, for worship and care and fellowship, but the work is out there. In the places that each of us live and work and move, and we are all called to tell the people God puts in front of us that he loves them, and he cares for them, that he has hope and new life for them, eternal life, abundant life. That this world is not forever. It will not always continue on as it always had, and our only hope is in him. Do we hear Peter's call? Do we hear his passion and his encouragement, his challenge to us? Do you recall the words of the prophets and the apostles and stand firm on the promises of Jesus? Do you feel the urgency that Peter felt even after all those decades of waiting? Are you still being found faithful, living the mission that Jesus has given to you, to all of us? We all carry it together. We support each other and we care for each other. We work together, but it requires each of us to choose to put Jesus first, his mission and his kingdom first, our own comfort, over our own goals, over our dreams, over our priorities, even over our needs. That he would be our purpose. He would be our focus. He would be our source. He would be our need. And that everything we do is led by him and fed by him and for his glory. No matter how much time has passed and how much time is yet to come, our mission and our purpose is exactly the same as Peter saw. And as he wrote to those believers 2,000 years ago, how different did the world look? How different did their lives look? And yet those people are the same. The world has not changed, and people have not changed. God's mission and purpose has not changed, and his call to us has not changed. They still need the same Jesus that died on the cross for us all, just like we do. God has done so much already, and there is so much left for us to do, because God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants every person you know to come to repentance. Do we hear that call? Are we ready to serve? I think we are. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word, for this challenge that you have laid out for us. We thank you for the leadership of Peter, that as you called him to lead the church, he wrote these things to encourage us, as he helped the church to navigate such challenging and difficult times. You also helped him see forward to the things that were to come, the challenges that the church was going to face, and he was able to write these things looking forward, even to us sitting here in this room. Father, you saw us as you inspired him with these words, that LFC is here to bring the hope of Jesus, to bring the truth that this world will not always continue as it always has, that there is a mission and a purpose for each person here. There is a hope and a redemption, forgiveness for each person in our community around us, that Jesus died for them, that they can know eternal life with him. God, we thank you for the ways that we get to serve together, for the joy that it is as we see lives transformed. We think of our kids and our youth and our young people. We think of the ways that they pray, the ways that they worship, the generation that is coming. We think of the lives that have been changed around us, the baptisms we have seen as people give their life to Jesus and trust him to lead them too. God, it is good. You are good. We thank you and we praise you that you are choosing to use us. And God, as we pray into what that looks like, as we step forward into what that looks like, God, we want to worship together. Declare that you are God together and ask that you would speak to us together. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.